MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Welcome to the Sully Show.
Masters of None.
Get ready for 360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Welcome to Alcohol by Volume on MoreLikeRadio.com.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Alfred Show.
You're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
This is the Fifth Circle.
It's you, Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
You're listening to Live from the Morgue on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Well, if this is it, old boy, I hope you don't mind if I go out speaking to kings.
I sound posh, but I'm not posh.
Are you taking the piss?
Do yourself a fucking favour, mate, because this is your last chance for a fucking peaceful night.
Recording live from London.
Yes, London. You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, Mary fucking Poppins, London.
That's Ashley.
Fucking cunt.
And this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Yeah, it's usually destructive with Jim Sterling. He's a cunt. I'm getting fucking tongue-tied, mate. Throat's dry, sir. None's nasty. But today they publish an article saying they sold 24 million fucking units of useless piece of shit called the Kinect, and they're saying it's slow going. Fuck off. Basically, it's because these arseholes are putting out shit, basically. About the Wii U, people talk about that being a next generation console, which is not. Wii U sales not bad, says Nintendo president. It's also sold at a loss, with bollocks, for Nintendo, albeit a slight, relatively slight one. What a load of crap. Don't believe that for a fucking second, you lying bastards. Iwata is so full of shit. It's unbelievable.
That guy is a loyal motherfucker. He really is.
I never leave you locked the lurch with anything.
All of a sudden I can't fucking have a... All of a sudden I can't once in a while just have a pleasant chat conversation with radio sensation Ashley Fuller. Can't even fucking get him to respond to you anymore. I love to talk, mate, but I'm just prepping for my show. How many times can you go to IGN in a day?
We had the BGAs the other day, which I couldn't give three fucks about, but I'll go into that in a second. Despite enough warning signs about server demand during the frenzy hype, Blizzard did not expect... Jesus Christ, I wish these fucking cunts would... actually proofread this shit. I mean, I'm the one who's got to read this fucking crap. I've killed a bunch of people in the game. I want to do it in real life. No one says that. No one thinks that at all. And I say people who do think that that is the least of violence are basically politicians who have no fucking clue anyway, who've never played a game and who probably think the latest game now is Pac-Man or something stupid like that. I mean, to be honest, if they stop making violent games, we might as well just play in fucking Barbie Horse Adventures. Halo, well, does Halo have a story? Hopefully the acquisition means only good things for IGN, its staff, and its post-News Corp iteration. I hope it means they all fucking die. Says THQ former CEO Brian Farrell, has been my pleasure to work alongside this group of people. No, you haven't. You sat in an office and fuck all day, you lying bastard. Basically pulls the pants down of every fucking gamer, and literally they just sort of fist us up the arse. But yeah, so yeah, welcome to the show. And good evening, everyone. It's time for Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelightradio.com. I say, join us in the chat room. Go to morelightradio.com/live. I am live every Tuesday, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern. Giving you usual gaming news, topics, all that usual bullshit. I say, it's fucking hot as balls over in England at the moment. Fucking storms and shit this morning. It's very, very humid. So sorry for any background noise you might hear. Hopefully not. They've had all the windows open just to cool me down in this bloody place. But I'll get into the usual stuff. I say, if you want to Skype into the show, it's Antisocial Game Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to email us, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. Facebook is facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. It's a group for all the listeners for both this show and Elite Speakers. Also, you can like our fan page. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And you can follow us on Twitter. It's at MLRGamerRadio. And, you know, get involved. Share it with your friends. Tell everyone you know that you're about us. But, yeah. So, it'll be a bit of a slow show this week because I'm going to talk about, you know, last week I did some games that I'm looking forward to. This week I've got a few more. Bunch of news. It's good, actually. A whole good load of news, which I'll hopefully try and get through the whole lot this week. And some games I've been playing, which I'll start with now. As I say, I've sort of non-stop with the Pokemon. That's all wrapped up and done with. Did get a bunch of new stuff, but I have been playing some older stuff as well. I tried to get back into Tales of the Abyss on my 3DS. I really couldn't be fucked to play that game anymore. It was so twisted and convoluted and boring. I just gave up. So basically, I'm done with that. Kynes is in chat. Hello, mate. What else have I been playing? Plants vs. Zombies. A bit more on that. I have finished the story. I'm sort of going through the Zen Garden, which was basically sort of grow your own plants, get money from it. I sort of did that till I had enough to buy every single plant in the game, unlock the achievement. I mean, I think the only thing I can get worth getting for achievement-wise is the Tree of Wisdom, basically like 2,500 coins to basically get this tree to grow, and it gives me cheats and bits and pieces and stuff like that. I'm not that fussed. So probably just stop playing that for the moment. Thunderwolves, the sort of helicopter sort of strike type games. That's pretty good. I'm having lots of fun with that. I think I'm up to mission 12 now. It's weird because it sort of jumps between sort of early 1990s and the late 80s for where the story goes. I mean, to us, the whole story is so messed up and I'm not paying attention at all. I just love sort of flying a helicopter. I'm just blowing the shit out of everything. That's basically what I'm doing. I mean, you know, there's tons of different helicopters, just having fun flying around, you know, the Airwolf music going off in my head, and just doing that. And it's a lot of fun, you know, just destroying buildings, doing missions, getting through the game. I'm not sure how many missions are left. I'm at 12, so I'll have to look it up and find out because I do want to sort of get it finished within this pretty soon because, you know, the next couple of months we're going to have some decent stuff coming out. And, you know, that's basically going to take up most of my time. So, I mean, this is pretty much what I'm doing. It's weird. Last year I had the big summer drought where basically I had nothing to play because there was nothing. Now I have stuff to play just to finish off stuff, really. I mean, I've still got Metal Gear Solid, the Peace Walker part of that Metal Gear Solid HD trilogy to play, which hasn't taken effect. I mean, I've still got Dragon's Dogma that's staring at me in the face. You know, I want to play through Hitman again, and I want to play through Call of Duty again. There's a bunch of stuff I just haven't got around to. I mean, there's tons of stuff, but, you know, that'll eventually take time once I've, you know, taken stuff off my list. Also, I played, what have I got? Hang on. Dishonored, yes. I've got several big games I want to talk about, but I'll do that in a sec. Dishonored, I haven't done the Knife of Dunwall story. I think I'm going to wait till we get the second part of that expansion, oh, the Witches of something or other. Witches of Balamoria. I don't know. I'm probably going to wait till that comes out and then do it all at once. So that way it's all still fresh. But I did do some of the challenge missions. Very fun, very addictive. And I mean, I've done a few. I haven't done some of the most ones I do like are the sort of stealth burglary type ones. And the first one, it was like, you had to go in and, get these clues that would show you this person you're supposed to assassinate. And that's tons of fun. It's just, you know, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to stealth stuff. I want to do everything perfectly, not get seen. I mean, I've played several, done several playthroughs of Dishonored and, basically. Just sort of trying to go through it again. But yeah, that was quite fun. There was a mission to do I think burglaries. I'm sort of half stuck on that one because I keep getting kept caught. Because it basically gives you like three chances to, to do the mission. But the thing is that when you get caught by someone, you have to kill them and then you're sort of stuck. So you might as well just, you know, stealth assassinate everyone and do it that way. But it's all about points and score and all sorts of stuff. And there's other bits that you've got to find. The Empress's Daughter's doll in each of the missions to get a bonus, and it's really fun. I just want to get through it and, you know, have some fun with it. But that's pretty much on my list. Some of the big stuff that I have been playing, I got one big game that I'll talk about in a sec, but I did pick up The Walking Dead 400 Days DLC. That's pretty much the end of Season 1 of The Walking Dead. It's the sort of joiner between Season 1 and 2. It is amazing. It really is. It's re-sparked my interest in wanting to play The Walking Dead. I mean, literally, I have no interest in the TV show. I mean, there's a site that I can go on to watch all the episodes, but I have no interest in the TV show. I mean, I've read the comics till where they got to the town and stopped there. And well, recently where they got to the town. But yeah, I mean, it's really fun. Basically, what it is, it's five or six mini episodes about individual characters who will be the cast for Season 2. There's several, literally, I can't remember the names off the top of my head, but there's one guy who's sort of walking up the road, and then he gets given a lift by this guy, and then you're just trying to make your way to your grandparents' house. And it's quite funny, the way I played it, because seeing certain characters... I mean, the guy who gives you a lift, he's like sort of a bad guy in one of the other episodes, and it's a really good what they've done. It's, I mean, some of the episodes maybe slightly a bit too long for what I was expecting, but some of the stuff it's actually, you know, proper length, and it feels really good to play. I mean, it's quite fun. The guy who gets a lift from someone. When the car's coming up the road and he's literally jumps down to hide. If anyone's played the first series of Walking Dead, remember as Carly, the sort of, which could have been a love interest, but she got shot in the head. Where you hide is right next to a dead body, which I thought was quite funny because a little achievement popped up saying a reunion, and I thought that was quite interesting. But yeah, it was really fun to sort of, you know, crouch down at basically that to her body there, sort of maggots all over it, and she's like literally completely dead, not even, you know, not a zombie, because I mean she was shot in the head. But it's really good fun. I mean, it does make you wonder. I mean, because I do want to play through the game like several times, and this DLC, there's consequences for this DLC as well. So basically, whatever you choose in this one will carry over. So basically, you got whatever you have from season one carries over to this bit of DLC, and then however you play in this DLC carries over to season two. I mean, I think it's going to get sort of weird and convoluted. With Mass Effect, where there were so many different, so many different like choices that you could do, and it sort of didn't pan out in the end, because if anyone, you know, anyone followed all the news with Mass Effect 3, it came out, all the shit and uproar it got with the endings and people not being satisfied. But I mean, I think we're going to have the same thing when it does eventually wrap up, however many seasons they want to do of this. We'll see how it goes. But there's other different characters. There's a bit where you're in a diner, which also is part of where, you know, the guy picks you up as one of the characters. He takes you to this diner, and then
There's several different episodes, but it's not set during the same days. It's set over, you know, five different characters over 400 days. There's one that's like 43 days in. The final character, which I'll talk about in a sec, she was set over 400 days, the 400 days later, and there's ones like 200. It's all sporadic like that. But it is a lot of fun, and, you know, I do want to go through the main story again, play it to the best that I can get, and then go through this. I mean, I sort of fucked up with one of the characters when talking, because I was just trying to sort of get through this, but sort of see what choices I should be making and what I shouldn't be making. I mean, at the end of the usual episodes of, The Walking Dead, you get your statistics, and I think I sort of did bad on most of them. It's like how people chose this choice or that choice, or, you know, who went with you and that sort of stuff. It's all, you know, different, and, you know, it's very interesting, you know, the choices that I made compared to everyone else. But I mean, there's other missions. There's one guy who sort of looks like Glenn, which makes me wonder, actually, sort of Asian guy, and he's basically, you're outside the pharmacy where Lee's family owned, and he's basically on that same stretch of road where you found Lee's brother. But then this is set, like, literally, I think, about 2 days after the outbreak. Basically, he's shooting someone, then you have to hide the gun. But the thing is, though, you don't see who he's shooting. So I'm wondering, basically, who he is shooting. I mean, because it's not going to make much effect on Lee, because Lee died at the end of Walking Dead. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be a lot of fun when it does eventually come out. Hoping it's pretty soon, because I need to get my second playthrough of The Walking Dead done, and then go through this DLC again, trying to get the best ending. I mean, I say at the end, you sort of take control of the final character at the end of the 400 days. It's basically a woman who's found this notice board by the diner, which some of it doesn't actually make sense, because some of the characters are actually fleeing from the diner rather than staying at. But basically, there's a bulletin board outside, and it's got all your pictures and notes and stuff, and then basically this woman finds you at this this patch of grass in the middle of nowhere, and you're all there sort of camping out. But then she says to her, come to this village, this town, and we were all safe, and that sort of stuff. So basically, what town is it? I don't think she says. Is it going to be one from the TV series, the comics? Are we going to see characters from the show? Will they be voiced by people from the show? Don't know. Still a whole bunch of, unanswered questions and stuff, shit, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to playing it when it does come out, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, it's really sparked my love for The Walking Dead's, point and click. And it does make you wonder. I mean, I have said before on the show, I had been playing the Back to the Future game. I literally gave it like one go and just haven't been back to it. But I mean, it would be nice if we got that more point and click stuff. I mean, the graphics aren't the greatest in the world, but they're basically, I mean, not supposed to be there. They're supposed to be the sort of cartoon storyboard style animation. And I don't see why we can't get, you know, the Back to the Future and all the other games that I think Telltale are working on. But I don't know. Fuck it. You know, we should have this stuff to play. I mean, the game's a game. But yeah, I say, you know, I'll go to the big thing that I have been playing this week. Actually bit the bullet and I picked up Animal Crossing: A New Leaf on my 3DS, because, I mean, basically, I've got nothing that's worth playing at the moment. I mean, my Pokemon stuff's done until October. I have been playing some Super Mario. I think I'm at World 6. I've just started that. I'm halfway through it. And then I basically get through to that, and I'm at World 7 or 8 or wherever is the final one for the game, and then the big boss at the end, which, to be honest, at the end of Super Mario, New Super Mario Brothers 2 on the DS, I didn't even get to fight the last boss because it was too hard. But this, yeah, I'm playing that. But yeah, Animal Crossing, literally, I mean, sort of gives me something to do with my 3DS. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I have been looking up stuff, because basically what happens is you're on a train at the beginning of the game. You're spoken to some guy called Rover. And he's basically, you know, answering just basic sort of character customization questions. You know, are you a boy or a girl? you know, what are you doing? Where are you going? I mean, there's like four different maps, basically, that you can choose to set your town up in. And it says, where are you going? I mean, you can sort of name your town as well. So basically, my town is MLRville. And basically, you get off the train. There's a whole bunch of people. Well, people, animals, because it's Animal Crossing. And they say, oh, welcome. You must be the new mayor. And like, you know, your character is totally confused on what's going on. But you basically, you get made the mayor of this town. And then it's basically, I mean, it's very sort of Kingdom of Keflings, sort of not exactly resource management as such, but it's you control what's going on and you have to make sure, you know, you have to make sure that everything's running smoothly. And, you know, it's a lot of, it's a lot of fun, to be honest. I mean, I have in, you know, well, just sort of, you know, I mean, some of the stuff is repetitive and, you know, it's really, really enjoyable. I mean, there's stuff that you can do. It's like, what the fuck is it? There's, you know, pick, which this is something that threw me off. There's picking, fruit from trees. And I didn't realize what I was supposed to. I mean, I've been watching like this video of this guy on YouTube, Zach something or other, and basically just watching his videos of him playing, Animal Crossing. Because literally, I mean, this is the first time I've ever played, an Animal Crossing game. And, I have no clue what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing. But it's basically a learning experience for me. But I mean, there's been picking off the fruit off the trees, which I'm supposed to plant or sell and all this stuff. But basically, I just sold it all. But instead of, because I mean, certain stuff that's opening up and it's becoming apparent to me. And I mean, because basically what happens is, I was given a tent, going there to go and see Tom Nook, who's this raccoon. And he basically says, you know, welcome to the town. We could build you a house. It would cost you so many bells, which is the currency. So I, you know, basically had to sort of run around, try and find items and, you know, collect stuff and get some money. And basically says, yeah, we'll start building your house. He gives you this tent, which you stay in. And it's basically like that for him. It's literally, I mean, I actually looked it up today and see how much money it does cost to eventually upgrade the house. But, you know, it's a lot of money. I mean, basically, I think the first thing you put, deposit you put down is like 10,000 bells, and then it, I think it was like, was it 50 or something like that to upgrade your house. And then I think I'm up to the one where it's like 200,000 bells, and then there's one final one which is 300,000. But then there's other bits you can do, there's extensions and a basement and all sorts of extra rooms you can put onto your house, which are basically like 500,000 bells, which is going to take me a long time to get, which, you know, I mean, tons of fun to play. But thing is, it is very repetitive, and I'm not sure how long I'll go with this game. I mean, as I'm doing bits and pieces now, I've unlocked stuff. I mean, there's a tropical island which you can go to, and you can do sort of mini games there, which you get your medals, and then you can use those medals to buy items and clothing and stuff, which you can basically send back to your main town. I mean, there's like bananas and coconuts and other sort of fruit and stuff there, which you can pick up, and flowers, and basically just send it back and make your town look nice. But there is other bits. There's some stuff I'm not sure. It's like the home development system or something, which I'm not too sure what that is. It's basically, there's a special area just above where the whole main street is, where Main Street is, and it's supposed to be like empty spot. So I'm guessing, I don't know if you're going to build a town there, or, I mean, there's, even in the Main Street, there's sort of buildings which are shaded and hopefully you can do stuff with them. I mean, I think there's like a barber shop or something, and there's like a garden shop. But yeah, there's loads of stuff, and there's all people moving to the town, and it's a lot of fun. And I just, you know, I can't really get more into it. I'm still, you know, 3 or 4 days in, just, you know, collecting bugs, catching fish, which I quite like. I just basically just doing that. And it is a lot of fun just to keep doing that. I mean, it does get a bit boring sometimes. I mean, I don't think I'll be playing this game daily, you know, day in, day out. I mean, I will for the moment, but until I get to where I need to be, I'll just sort of do what I want and just get through it. But yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what the end game for this is. I mean, I know there isn't really an end game as such, but I'm unlocking stuff every time. I mean, I sort of met a character by accident by not saving the game properly, and I just sort of literally shut down and reset. And basically, this other guy called Rossetti, this mole, who says, "Please don't do that." But yeah, I mean, it is a lot of fun to just sort of you know, play through and sit around for a couple of hours and just catch fish, catch bugs, and do nothing for a good substantial amount of time. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the big things that we've been playing this week. I mean, you know, it's nearly August and we should be getting the new Saints Row soon, and there's tons of stuff about that coming out, and you know, more trailers still. But yeah, you know, it's one of the big things that I want to play. But you know, if I stroke all this lot off, I can just sort of get into some other stuff and you know, see how we go. But yeah, I'll go into the main topic, which I've got for this week. Basically, I want to talk about some other stuff that we've got coming out. I mean, you know, I'm going to talk about Destiny first. It's one of the big games for you know, for next year, and you know, which I can't wait for. I mean, I've talked about this. We had at E3, but I mean, I do want to like find out some stuff on Titanfall, but we haven't really got that much on that. We've got like trailers and some bits and pieces here and there. We know it's an online only game. There's no single player, which is a shame, but it does throw everyone straight into the action. But yeah, I mean, talk about that, Destiny. I mean, this game, it blew everyone away when we started getting the trailers. I mean, there's like a 12-minute trailer that we got from E3 of like a couple of I think producers and developers playing the game. I mean, it does look very sort of Borderlands 2-esque, but with not cel-shaded graphics and probably more detailed stuff. But yeah, I mean, I got some stuff here from Wikipedia and some an article on it. Basically, you know, it's from Bungie. It's basically, you know, just reading this off, sabotagetimes.com. Bungie's first new IP after handing the Halo franchise over to the 343 Studios. It's certainly ambitious. Sandbox shooter mechanics. This is out for like March, but so we've had tons more information come out. Basically, it's a first person shooter, which, you know, I'm not a fan of. I'm a good fan of. It's just, you know, basically, it does look like this sort of, to me personally, it's the Halo game that I actually like, considering, I mean, you know, even I've said dozens of times already. What do you call it? It's, I lost my train of thought. But yeah, I mean, even though I have played like most of all the Bungie Halo games and finished them all, and it's just, you know, I'm still not a fan. But I mean, this looks pretty good from what we can do. But yeah, I've lost my page here. One sec. Oh, there we go. Yeah, but the whole premise of the game is it's set several hundred years in the future in a post-apocalyptic setting. I was reading this off Wiki. Following a prosperous period of exploration, peace, and technology advancement known as the Golden Age. In a universe where humans have spread out and colonized planets in the solar system, an event known as a collapse saw the mysterious dissolution of these colonies, the end of the Golden Age, and mankind teetering on the brink of extinction. The only known survivors of the collapse are living on Earth, which was saved by the Traveler, a white spherical celestial body whose appearance centuries before had enabled humans to reach the stars. The Traveler now hovers above the last remaining human city, and its presence allows the guardians of the city, the last defenders of the human race, the ability to wield unknown power. Upon mankind's first attempt to repopulate and reconstruct after the collapse, it is discovered that the hostile alien race have occupied mankind's former colonies, and civilizations are now encroaching upon the city. The player takes on the role of the guardian of the city and is tasked with investigating and destroying those threats before humanity is completely wiped out. See, it does seem a bit kooky, but weird and interesting, this whole premise. I mean, the Traveler is basically, you've all seen the trailers, big giant white sphere. It's like, I mean, there's even this game, we know much, but we still know so much. We know so much, but we still know so little. It's like, is there a guy inside? Is it, you know, is it actual? Just what the fuck is it? I mean, it's sort of like, you know, what the hell's in the big thing, ball thingy at Epcot? I'm just so excited for this game. But no, I mean, I'm looking forward to, you know, being one of the guardians, having your own powers. I mean, this game is going to open up so much for sort of co-op gameplay. I mean, yes, multiplayer. See, I'm a sort of tangent slightly, right? I sort of, way my thinking is now, I mean, co-op gaming is the future, with, Yeah. Guest 139623. Go and change your name, guest, so I can give you a shout out, whoever you are. I think it's probably Matty, actually, because he's saying about putting money on Division. Yeah, Division I'm going to talk about next, as long as I have enough free time to talk about it. But yeah, it's basically like, well, I mean, The Last of Us, the online part for The Last of Us is pretty much, you've got basically your living 3 months and you're getting items and stuff like that. I need to give The Last of Us online mode a try, see what that's like. But yeah, I mean, with this, I mean, there's different classes for the Guardian. There's so much to choose how you want to set your character up. I mean, I think now I could probably sort of, sit down and then work out my character and then actually play the game and then just scrap it all completely. I mean, I'm not actually sort of, setting myself on, any sort of path of how I want to play my character for Destiny. I mean, I want to get it from my, that's a point. I'm not even sure what I'm going to get it. I think I'm probably going to get PlayStation 3. PlayStation 3. PlayStation 4, when that comes out, I think that's what I'm going to get it on. But I don't know. See, I'm not sure, because it's a Bungie game. They've had a lot of practice with the Xbox stuff. Pretty much what everyone else plays, I think I'll probably get it on. But it all depends at the moment. It all depends. But yeah, where was I? I'm totally losing train of thought, and my mind was running wild. But yeah, the Traveller. They're showing stuff with with planes and ships and stuff. I mean, I did have a wonder. It's like, yeah, they're talking about ships, other colonies. I mean, I don't think we're going to visit those colonies, which is a shame. But I mean, I think it's probably for expanse as big and as open world and what they want to do with this game. I still don't think we're going to basically leave the whole map of where Destiny's set to go to other worlds with other things. I mean, from where Borderlands 2 ended, I could see him sort of trying to do something like that. With Borderlands 2, I don't really think there's a need to do something like that. But, well, whatever. Doesn't matter. This is Destiny we're talking about. But yeah, it's sort of confusing me how the story's going to go. Because, I mean, I think they want like several games out of this. Tons and tons of DLC. I mean, I'm not sure how far they've actually written, how far they've written ahead for the story. I mean, I'm looking forward to finding out. Characters here, they got characters. Destiny's will center around the journey of the Guardians, the last defenders of humanity, set to protect Earth's last city. Now, we're obviously going to be from what I have seen is it does sort of seem to inspire parts from Borderlands, from Rage. If anyone remembers Rage, that was done by from id Software. That was a great game, but very, very, very short. It's set to protect Earth's last city. It's like, is there going to be some sort of chance to rebuild other cities? Or that's what I don't like about certain things when they basically have like the last city of Earth. I mean, unless there's going to be different bits to explore, like city-wise, old rubble. I mean, that's what my problem with sort of open-world style games. I hate having just one main hub. I mean, that's not my problem with Dragon's Dogma. There's only like one real major city, and there's not that much to do in it, to be honest. But, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, basically, Guardians will be divided into three different races. You've got the humans, the Awoken, and Exo. Humans are described as being relatable, tough, and uncomplicated. Bungie drew its inspiration for the human race from military, professional athletes, and action heroes. Awoken are described as exotic, beautiful, and mysterious, inspired by fictional depictions of elves, vampires, ghosts, and angels. Exos are being described as being sinister, power, tireless. Exos are inspired by the undead, Halo's Master Chief, and the the Terminator. But yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, there's so many different characters you can play. But it does feel very Shadowrun. That's it. It does feel very. They've taken bits from Shadowrun as well, from the whole way the gameplay is. Sort of magic and guns, sort of combat. That, it does actually seem like this is sort of Shadowrun done right, and a sort of game that, people will care about more. I'm not even sure which class I want to be. I mean, if I can have several game saves, I'll be every class. I'm hoping so. I mean, games like Borderlands, you can have different characters going at the same time. But this is actually, you know, it's something that, I can't say how much, I keep saying how excited I am for this game, but it is going to be one of the big ones that I do want to play with, when it does eventually come out. But yeah, I mean, it looks so amazing. The stuff, I mean, I like the whole loot aspect as well. That's what's really grabbing me with this game. Just finding different guns and sort of having fun with them, messing around, that sort of stuff. But players were able to choose a class to go along with side their race. So three classes available to players in Destiny. You've got Hunters, the Warlocks, and the Titans. Hunters are a reconnaissance base class meant to, very reminiscent of the old classic Bounty Hunters. Bungie cites as influence Star Wars Han Solo and classic characters from Westerns such as Clint Eastwood, the Man with No Name. Warlocks combine weapons with special powers from the Traveler and are meant to be a form of space wizard. It's weird how, it even seems to pull from Dragon Age and, you know, those sort of classic games. I mean, I'll carry on reading because I've got a thought in my head, but I'll carry on reading this as well. Weapons, Space Wizard, yeah, done a bit. The War class is influenced by the Star Wars series. How much Star Wars is this influenced by? Star Wars series, Jedi Knights, Lord of the Rings, series like Gandalf, Matrix, and Morpheus. Titans, which favour heavy weapons and melee attacks, are intended to be reminiscent of the classic Future Soldier, which were inspired by Bungie's own Halo's Master Chief, Stormtroopers from Star Wars, yet again, another Space Marines from science fiction. Playable characters will be a combination of a Guardian race and class. Oh, no shit. It does actually seem like it's the way they want with the classes. They've actually sort of slotted it into one spot. I'll explain. You've got your human characters, and this is all depending on the stats. I mean, I think we're going to get like a whole big, when everyone chooses their character, they're going to get basically everyone's going to be sort of one race with mixing between the classes. So you're going to have like a human who's a titan, or you're going to have a human who's going to be a hunter. But then I can see someone like exos being only just being titans, or you've got basically everyone's going to be an awoken. They're only going to be like warlocks because it all fits their whole power. It's like I can start this back to playing Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy 11. Basically, you had your sort of elf characters, and basically all they would be was like archers and certain stuff where their stats would be pegged with. I mean, I'm not sure how this balances the game out. It can balance the games like, well, you go with a team of people, someone's going to be a warlock, someone's going to be a hunter, and you have a couple of titans with you. But yeah, I can sort of see it sort of fittering down where you won't get that many. You probably won't get many human human warlocks or many, that's the thing. That's one of the few things that I probably can see that we won't be getting many of. Many human warlocks. We'll probably have tons of exo titans and exo hunters. But yeah, I can see basically the awoken race mainly just being warlocks. I really can't see them being, hunters maybe. Yeah, there'll probably be a few hunters. If you got any sort of stealth action sort of stuff. But it's. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when eventually, the game does come out. We'll see that, the message boards spring alive. I'll read a bit from here from Sabotage Times. Basically, they're saying that last month, developers of the acclaimed sci-fi, this is like from March, by the way, shooter franchise Halo lifted lid on their latest project, Destiny. After handing over the reins of Halo to 343 in March of last year, Bungie shifted its focus away from the IP that made them a household name, embarking instead on a new venture, something big. In terms of lore, Destiny and the studio's previous works aren't too dissimilar. Humans have just recovered from the brief extinction, sheltered by the Traveler, an alien vessel, which keeps... See, that's the thing. That I'm just literally sparked in my head now. I mean, it's, I like that it says, sheltered by the Traveler, an alien vessel which keeps watch over the man over man's last city. I mean, is he going to be like the architect in the end of the Matrix, sort of sitting in his chair with like TV screens all around? But is there a bigger plan for the Traveler where they come? I mean, so much unanswered questions. But I'll carry on reading. After a period of reconstruction, humans begin to venture once more into space, where they become part of what we can only be described as the Interspecial Battle Royale. Players will take on the roles of the Guardians, defenders of humanity, charged with assuming mankind's survival against a host of scaly, smelly, and unholy pleasant extraterrestrial species. Basically, we got fucked over by a bunch of aliens. The whole remnants of civilization must battle against the odds to save humankind. That makes me wonder how much we'll get in the eventual end game of this of Destiny. I can sort of say with just looking at the way things are with Assassin's Creed. With Assassin's Creed 4, I've got some news on possibly a future Assassin's Creed game. They're still going all this sort of stuff, but how this game ends will play a big part in how we get more Assassin's Creed games, where the story's going. I mean, pretty much the Assassin's Creed 3 ending was, well, sort of open-ended and a bit of a cliffhanger with Desmond, everyone else, his friends and his dad, and what happened with them. Nothing was really explained, even with the DLC that we got, which is basically an alternate universe, which basically was nothing anyway. It's really what I can see, how much I can see the Assassin's Creed going so much, becoming so much like the Matrix, which it was, it sort of is, if you think about it. I sort of wonder how they'll go with that, and it might reflect on this. It's like, how many games are we going to get in the Destiny series? How much story are we going to get? I mean, they got big plans for it now. I mean, the same thing was said with Silicon Knights, Dennis Dyack, when Too Human came out. He wanted like a trilogy and like toys and all sorts of weird shit like to go with the game. And basically, they made one game. It bombed terribly because it was terrible. And now, he's pretty much at the end of a noose hanging himself. We have to see where it goes, but there's nothing really more. I mean, I've got other stuff I want to talk about, but Destiny, it's going to be one of the big games coming out that I really want to play, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I can't wait to sort of sit down and play with other people. I mean, I know me and Stuart, we're going to probably sit down, well, if he does get the next gen console, or, technical, whatever we get it on, and however it goes, I can see myself having a bunch of fun with other people playing this and sort of, just going nuts, just shooting monsters. And I mean, the whole, what I do like is the big, at the end of the trailer for that, during E3, we got that big giant sort of tank that you had to fight. And there was a whole bunch of other people from the universe, from the game, all getting together to destroy this big tank. That's a lot of fun. There's so much more to this game that we don't know. I mean, it's all right for me to say now, but I'm looking forward to it when it does eventually come out. Next one we'll talk about is the Division. If I can just find where I put the bloody article. There we go. Yeah, The Division from Ubisoft. This game looks really good. I mean, I know Matt is doing his nut over this. He really wants this game. Got this off RaidWarning.com. This game looks so much fun. I can't wait to play it. It really does. I mean, I think this is online only as well. I'll read from the thing. For me, one of the surprise hits of E3 this year was a game called The Division. More accurately, it's called Tom Clancy's Division, and this is what makes me laugh. That they, I mean, I'm not sure if people know, but it's like Tom Clancy sold his name to Ubisoft for a big shitload of money. Basically, now they have his name. They use his name on every game, pretty much, they make that's not Assassin's Creed. It matters none, to be honest. I mean, he's got nothing to do with the game apart from his name's on it. I don't know if that'll push the games. I mean, like Sid Meier's Pirates and, that sort of stuff. I'm not, I just buy it for because it's a Ubisoft game, not because it's Tom says Tom Clancy. I mean, they got a big sale now, I think, on Xbox Live, whenever that gets fucking fixed, because that keeps crashing on me today. But I don't know. But yeah, sorry. The premise of Division is quite appropriately rather like something out of a Tom Clancy novel. A bioterrorist attack was that is probably the connection between Ubisoft and Tom Clancy. Everything's an attack of some sort. A bioterrorist attack takes place in the US on Black Friday, using money to spread the virus, which is actually quite funny considering they've got this game, The Division, which basically it's a virus spread through money, and you've got Watch Dogs, which is basically hacking electronic stuff, so basically taking electronic money. Yes, turning the national currency into a weapon. Millions are infected, and national infrastructure goes to hell fast, and you can say, I'm not even going to bother reading that because it's a shitty, cheesy line. The story trailer alludes to the fact that in merely 4 days, the nation has essentially gone into a survival state, with trade having come to a standstill and transportation having already been shut down. Luckily, in the scope of the game, a 2007 presidential order has been put into play. This order, called Directive 51, sets up the main bases of the Division. Shadow cells and sleeper agents have been scattered throughout the United States. And in Division, you'll be one of those sleeper agents. Why would you be a sleeper agent instead of a shadow cell? Sleeper agents are basically like what the hell is the name of Battlestar Galactica? The Cylon one. Shit, Boomer. Yeah, like Boomer. That's a sleeper cell. A sleeper agent. Trying desperately to maintain some sense of order or law in the chaos of an apocalyptic world. The story is a great mix of spy thriller, post-apocalyptic fiction, and haunting modern drama. I mean, we've got a big gameplay trailer for this as well, which was really fun to watch. Putting on more of a few current news items and very real modern-day fears. Basically, the guy writes this, that's exactly why I'm excited to play The Division. There's something very unsettling about making it a world where so close to a very real fear that exists in the modern world. Unsettling, but at the same time, intriguing. Interest-grabbing story wasn't enough for a reason to be interested. The Division brings a very ambitious and exciting type of gameplay to bear. A third-person shooter with multiplayer, open world, and more than a few elements of scarcity and survival. DayZ plus Ghost Recon with a dash of Don't Starve. It's hard to say exactly what we'll get from The Division since details are so scarce. I mean, this article comes out a month ago, so this is after E3, and you know. But so we can draw from the several minutes of gameplay shown at E3. It's pretty spectacular. But yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to playing this. I mean, that's the thing. See, you know, I'm talking about stuff now and stuff. You know, what it's seeing. I'm looking forward to this. One of the big things that I want to play as well. I think this is all next gen consoles as well. So whatever console it comes out on, I'll pick it up. I think it's actually console exclusive. One sec. But yeah, I mean, I'm totally on board for this. And if it does come to one or other console, I mean, I know if Matty has the new console, whatever it's coming out on, we'll both be playing it together. It looks really fun. Firstly, you notice that the environment in New York has fallen apart. Shops are ruined and trash is piled everywhere. You're merely thrown into the apocalypse mode, but the city isn't so decayed that you can't see familiar sights. See, that's the thing. Compare it to The Last of Us. I mean, The Last of Us, yeah, it's set about 15, 20 years after, basically, you know, the clickers and all the shit went down, the virus and stuff like that. And the cities you go through, everything's smashed to shit. And the, you know, shops are smashed, obviously, because it's been ransacked, you know, by people trying to survive. But you got, like, flooding in underground tunnels and all this sort of stuff, like grass growing through the concrete. You know, I mean, does it really happen that fast in 20 years? I mean, I've been on the bus driven down some really shitty streets that haven't been touched in years, but even they're not that bad. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was a bit sort of far-fetched, but they had to sort of throw it into that, you know, that forte, rather. Where was I? Sorry. Yeah, pod everywhere. You're thrown into apocalypse mode. But the city isn't so decayed that you can't see from any sight. Taxi here, corner shop, corner store there. Even some friendly dogs, and it's unnerving, but immediately puts you on the edge and sets the atmosphere of the game perfectly. Secondly, you notice how slick the UI is. Transparent modern labels show your health and ammo, as well as the condition of other members on your division. Of your division party. Additionally, you'll notice digital street signs pop up, giving you a direction in a world devoid of mini maps. Yes, it seems you actually have to navigate the streets of New York using a map. Granted, it's a super futuristic map. The integrates seamlessly. Yeah, you fucked up on that. That integrates seamlessly with the environment in a pseudo science fiction kind of way. That map also seems to be a way in which you'll find missions or quests. After hearing gunshots, the player was able to open the map, determine where they come from, and then see that a nearby police station was in trouble. I'll take a break for a second from reading this. I'm interested in, say, like The Division and Destiny, but I wonder about stuff like, going on with this sort of like the map missions and stuff. I mean, how many missions do we play before things get interesting? You know, it's an open world sort of MMO style game. It's Division. It's like, well, how many missions do you do where you have to go and collect stuff or an escort mission? I mean, I wonder about. I mean, this will probably have to be a topic, I think, in the future. It's like, well, how many missions can you have which are exactly the same, which are basically fetch quests? The basic missions that we get too many of. I mean, I hate fucking escort missions where I have to protect someone, because basically I'd rather be on my own doing something, getting myself in danger, than actually having to go along with someone to keep them safe. I'm not a big fan of. That's the thing with me. When I first started doing this show, games I was going for in a week and just getting it finished. This sort of stuff, even think about Animal Crossing. How long am I going to want to keep catching the same bugs and catching fish and just that's it. That's all you have to do, just to make the money to pay for certain things. And I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but. How long do you keep doing these same old missions before it all gets boring? It's the same old shit. I mean, that's I don't know. We'll see. I mean, once we get a look at what the missions will be, then, we can sort of work on stuff. And, I'll have to write this down later and sort of think about all these sort of missions that we're getting. I mean, it'll probably be like a minor talking point for one of the next couple of shows. But yeah, I'll carry on reading. While en route to the disturbance, three important things pop up. First, the two players see a woman who is infected with the virus and mention that they don't have the packs to spare. I assume that means the players will be able to inoculate civilian NPCs and themselves, and thus change the makeup of certain areas, perhaps even bring it. See, that's the thing as well. I mean, the main character we see from this trailer is a guy. I mean, if it's an open world thing, can you customize your character? Can you have female characters? And when it comes to this sort of, your own character, you should be able to customize how you want to look. I mean, which is a slight downside I forgot to mention for Animal Crossing, because I was watching that guy, that guy doing his videos, and it was like, well, the guy, because he has he was on Skype and there was a couple of other people playing in his game. It's like, well, one of the guys is a black guy, from the sounds of him. It's like, well, yeah, they're all the only characters in Animal Crossing are white people. There's white boys and there's white girls, and that's it. There's no customization of how the skin color or hair or anything like that. It's basically a stock set boy and a stock set girl. I mean, you can change your clothing and stuff. I mean, my character's got a set of glasses because I wear glasses, and a sort of woolly hat with a bobble on the end of it. But yeah, I mean, apart from you've got to have a more in-depth customization. I mean, Pokemon, we get in the change your skin colour, change your hair colour, that sort of stuff. Hairstyles, different things. But yeah, it's just something that's on top of my head. Where was I? Yep. Next, we hear a third person. We hear a third player come in over the voice chat, showing just how seamless the party integration seems to be. The fact that she is just now popping in suggests to me that the voice chat in game may be restricted to a certain distance, which I think is pretty much how the Battlefield stuff works. Just before heading to the police station, the group finds. I need to watch this again because it was a great trailer. The group finds an entrance to the underground, suggesting that there are numerous zones of the area in the city, more than likely each having their own rewards and challenges. Says, I doubt the underground will have that many weapons to loot, but it might be a high-risk reward of travelling throughout the city. Yeah, loot drops, see? Similar to Destiny. When gunfire breaks out, the team hurries to the police station and engages the enemy. We catch a glimpse of a few abilities, including deployable turrets. Oh, sorry. A group heal, distraction device, radar scan, and a homing mine. There look to be a ton of skills, and the developers have already said that they want a classless system based on flexibility and choice. Basically your character plays to your own strengths and how you want to have your character. I mean, me, I'm a big lover of stealth. I'm always be a stealth character if I can be. I mean, Dishonored, I always play stealthy, and Assassin's Creed, always stealthy. You know, I'm a big fan of, you know, I either want to be a very stealthy character, or if it's a gun game, just give me a sniper rifle and just put me up somewhere in a distance and I'll just pick out targets. The other big feature we see during the demo is the appearance of a drone manned by a player on a tablet. An integration with mobile devices seems far more than a gimmick in The Division, and Ryan Barnard elaborated on this in a 24/7 interview. He says, you'll have your own presence with the drone, within the drone, have progression of skills and talents, a lot like the main game, so it's not a fluffy armory of an application. It's the real game client that you can use and interact with the game itself. But yeah, I mean, you know, Karen, I've just finished off this article. After the fight outside of the police station, we see players gathering food and water, unlocking an armory, collecting what looks to be randomized loot, and dropping the ever so cryptic line. You better get that gun out before you lose it. No doubt suggesting that if you die with a new weapon, you lose that new weapon. Sort of like Dark Souls. Finally heading outside to fire or for flare. Undoubtedly to call in an air extraction, and then we get the killer line. Killer line of the entire gameplay teaser. Well, it's another group of players, a brace for PvP. The post-apocalyptic open world, non-linear character progression, elements of the MMO genre, mobile integration, a slick modern design of world PvP. The Division is slated for a 2014 release, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, so whichever anyone gets, I know that we're playing with. But yeah, I mean, I don't really play that too many games with too many different people anyway, but I mean, this is certainly one, same with Destiny, that I do want to play with other people. But I mean, this has, you know, it has sparked a whole lot of interest for me. It's like, well, this game looks so amazing. I see, I'm really looking forward to the next console generation of games that we're getting. I mean, I'm sort of tired of what we got now. I mean, there's other stuff that I'd like to see. I mean, I want to see the final Dead Space game. I'm hoping that Assassin's Creed wraps itself up sometime soon, because I love Assassin's Creed, but you can't keep going with the same old shit. And this is what worries me with both Destiny and The Division. We've got stuff where it says, where did I read it? Sorry. Non-linear character progression. Basically elements of the MMO genre. It's like, well, how many different DLC expansions and stuff? There has to be an end to everything. So this is what pisses me off with, you know, certain TV shows, like, say, like Battlestar Galactica. I mean, I never got into Lost because I tried to get into it so many damn times, but it was just so boring. But yeah, I mean, that had no real ending. Battlestar Galactica had an ending that sort of pissed a lot of people off. And it's like, well, everything has to have an ending. That's the whole point. You know, you start, middle, and end. You know, I mean, I wonder if we're going to get Division 2 or whatever. I mean, you know, I mean, how detailed is everything? I mean, this game is 2014 at the moment. I'm thinking we're going to get a delay on this. I really am. I can see it. I mean, the graphics look amazing from what they've shown us, but to be honest, that was a demo. They work on demo separately from the main game because they sort of, you know, pull a bit from the main game and then make a demo of it for, you know, for players, for demonstrations, that sort of stuff. But I mean, you know, stuff like this, it's like, well, you know, are we going to get more from it, or I don't know. I mean, that's probably going to have to be a whole thing. It's like, you know, missions that we get in games, I'll have to do some sort of sit down, do some research on sort of missions that people don't like and repetitive stuff. I mean, I'll post this. I'll post it for next week. I'll post this in the Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/MLR Gamer Lobby. You know, what, if you're not in there already, I mean, there's tons of you fucking people listening. So, you know, get yourself involved. You know, what missions are you sick of seeing in games? I mean, you know, this actually gives me a topic for next week now. but yeah, no, I do want to know, because literally it does help me out. It helps, you know, helps you lot out. It keeps us talking, keeps us integrated, you know, builds a community for More Like Radio and, you know, for the gaming community of More Like Radio between me and Elite Speakers. But yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to both of these games. I did intend to talk about Pokemon, but literally I'm sort of, need to take a break. I'm an hour in now. But yeah, I mean, these games are just so amazing. I can't wait to sort of, you know, just get my hands on them and play them and just sort of do stuff with them. I mean, you know, I might have to get myself a bigger TV. I mean, I've got a massive TV now, but, you know, something even bigger than what I've got now. But yeah, I mean, this game looks amazing. Same as Destiny, and I'm going to have tons of fun with it. I mean, I'm sort of stuck now. There hasn't been a real game that's actually wowed me to the point of that I need to play online all the time with different players. I mean, stuff like Dead Space, I was playing with Stuart, it was a great time, but the co-op was very non-needed. I mean, in Dead Space 2, we didn't really need the multiplayer, which no one played. You know, I think of stuff like that, that just wasn't fun at all. But, you know, this hopefully will be designed for a sort of co-op, because, I mean, multiplayer, that's what I was going to say earlier, I completely forgot. Co-op is the new thing that every game should have, co-op. I mean, I like multiplayer, but multiplayer isn't big enough. Multiplayer's had its day, and it's there for some games like Call of Duty and that sort of stuff, Battlefield and, you know, that, and FIFA, you know, but it's co-op is where I'd rather play with other people instead of having to shoot them, because it's a lot more fun working together on an objective rather than having to do something, which is probably going to be my fault with Titanfall, to be honest. It's like, you know, I mean, I don't mind doing what we're going to do because it looks fun and amazing. I just want to fight in giant mechs. But, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, doing other stuff and sort of co-op based missions. And that's sort of my thing. That's what I like to do. But I'm going to take a break now. I'll be back in about 10 minutes or so. So go get yourself a drink, something to eat, and I'll be back after these messages.
You're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tuesday nights on More Like Radio, it's the show about beer that apparently everybody is talking about.
He has his own show.
No, he doesn't.
He has a podcast.
What, prove it?
Alcohol by Volume.
He talks about beer. How hard is that?
Alcohol by Volume.
He talks about beer. How hard is that?
Because it's a show on our network.
Alcohol by Volume.
No.
Who does the show?
Atticus.
Who?
Atticus, why does that sound?
Because he's the guy that syncs up our audio when we screw it up.
Kevin.
On,
great at video, horrible at everything else in his life.
Well, yeah, because Atticus was a fan, and then he became a staff person, and then he became a show host. Very integrated with us. I mean, he has a More Like Radio t-shirt.
He sounds great. We should get him to host a show.
He does
on
have
the
a
station.
He does have a show. It's called Alcohol by Volume.
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesday nights, 6 to 8 p.m., only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. go to adamandeve.com. And for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your hair cut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast?
Not fast. I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard, kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe!
Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Insane.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you.
Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on morelikeradio.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! Let's say it 3 more times.
Oh God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Wow, down, bow, down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Here's your tea.
Thank you.
You're not early.
No, I haven't been to bed. Me and Mike met up with these two Scottish guys in the pub and they gave us all this cheap speed.
Tim, that's so tacky.
Yeah, I know, you know, they were so nice. I think if we'd have said no, they'd have got offended and beaten us to death with a pool cue.
Where's Mike now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Bring Mike back. What are you playing? It's a subtle blend of lateral thinking and extreme violence. What? Like it's a knockout? Did you want something? No. Not really. Oh, there's a letter here for you. Came yesterday. It's open. Yeah, I opened it by accident because we've both got eyes in our names.
It's from Vulva.
Oh, yeah, is that another woman's magazine?
Vulva, it's an old friend. She's having a show tonight.
You got a friend called Vulva? Who's called Vulva?
Real name's Ian.
Do you mean her real name's Ian?
She's non-gender specific.
Oh, wait, you mean he's a tranny?
More than that.
What, big fat tranny?
Vulva. Had a multimedia performance art partnership before she moved on. Such aesthetic wonders. Such vibrant times.
Yeah, I can imagine.
No, we did valuable work. She was the beautiful one, really. I just danced to her tune. It was purity. It was physical. I mean, not in a sexual sense. No, we were collaborative. I don't expect you to understand. Most people don't want to hear, they just switch off. It's hard to hear the story of a love affair between two straight men, one of whom is the most divine woman alive.
So you're gonna go?
I don't know, I haven't seen her for ages.
No, I mean, are you gonna go now?
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelightradio.com. And just turn the lights on in my place because it's getting dark and the wind's blowing up, so hopefully we're getting some more rain because it's boiling as fucking hell in here. But yeah, I hope everyone liked the Destiny and Division talk. I think that literally, I mean, those two games are going to be on everyone's want list for the next generation of consoles. As I say, between the transition, I would like to sort of see, you know, a whole sporadic wave of new IPs for the next generation, and we just basically put like a big lockdown on everything that we've had for the previous current generation, and just basically end it. You know, have like finish off Assassin's Creed on the current gen stuff, finish off Dead Space, you know, that sort of stuff. That's what I'd like to see. But, you know, as I mentioned, Assassin's Creed, I should have mentioned this last week, but as usual, you know, with me, I talk and talk and talk, and I run out of time. But yeah, Games with Gold, if you've got Xbox Live Gold account, I mean, Xbox Live's down at the moment because something's gone wrong, but Microsoft are fixing it, so this is basically live, brand new news, just telling you right now, so whenever you listen to this, hopefully it's all fixed. But Assassin's Creed 2... you've got it for this month. It's all free, so don't be dumb. Go and fucking download this game, because it's amazing. I haven't actually got around to playing it again. Yeah, I've got all the achievements anyway, so I'm not in a hurry to play it, but I do want to play it again and get through it, just as before. But because I've got other stuff, and just, this isn't on my to-do list. But go and pick it up. It's free. You know, get it. You know, it's a great game. It's better than the first one. One of the best in the series, before it started going crazy and stupid. And it's really, really good. But yeah, I mean, we had the Defense Grid, The Awakening, which I downloaded and I played for like a few seconds and I'm like, yeah, this was shit. But it's, you know, Assassin's Creed 2, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what the next one is. I think they actually told us. I'm not sure, I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, it's worth getting if you haven't got it. Yeah, Stuart in the chat says, already have it on the disc. Well, sell your copy. Sell your disc, you know. Yeah, download it, sell your copy, you know, for some, you know, some money, and then you can buy Connor some new boots and clothes or something. I'm just reading in the chat here. But yeah, I mean, you know, ton of big news. I'm just trying to find some decent stuff for you. Hold on one sec. Right. Sorry, I'm just trying to find something that's worth. Oh, here we go. Yes, Ace Combat. The last one was shit, and I snapped the disc because I got angry with it. Ace Combat Infinity is a PlayStation 3 exclusive. Namco Bandai has folded back the canopy on Ace Combat. I hate these punny shit, this punny stuff, because it makes me sound like a fucking douche. It's folded back the canopy on Ace Combat Infinity. The next game in the Arcade Flight Sim series will be a PlayStation 3 exclusive, and you can get a quick peek. You know, I've posted the trailer of this in the Facebook group, so if you're not in there, get yourself in the Facebook group. The last home console game in the 21-year-old series was Ace Combat Assault Horizon, which launched on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 in 2011. A globe seen briefly in the trailing things that... if I can say it properly. Trailer indicates that the Infinity will also take place on Earth instead of oddly Earth-like strange real sort of locations. Namco Bandai has not announced a release time frame for the game or confirmed that it's clear to take off outside of Japan. So this could be a Japan only game. We know it's a PlayStation 3 only game. I hated Assault Horizon. The game was terrible. I hated that whole dogfight mode where you basically went from being outside. yeah, Stuart says, yeah, I am a douche. Accept my fate, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I hated Assault Horizon. That whole dogfight mode was just a piece of shit. And this, if it's pretty much the same, I won't be picking up. I love Assault Combat. I love Ace Combat. It's one of my favorite. I mean, to be honest, we don't really have that many flight simulator games, but it's one of my favorites that I've ever played. It's a really, really, really decent game. Game series, rather. I mean, I've got Blurry by Puddle of Mud from, I think that was, Electrosphere? I think, or the one after. Basically, that was in there. The stories of the past couple of games have been pretty good. I mean, the one before Assault Horizon, the story was kind of shit, but it was actually good for the way it followed, and, you know, it was interesting. But yeah, I mean, you know, the whole stuff going on with this, we'll find out soon, hopefully. Probably the Tokyo Game Show, I think. This is something, and I don't really talk about Pokemon as much this episode, but we've got here, if I can just, hang on, one sec, god, fucking thing, won't, there we go. Just copy and paste this into the chat room for the people, so if you're not listening live, you're missing out. I say, you've got Stuart and Corny in the chat. Have a look at this, right? This is Pokemon working on a Pokemon Studio teases surprise collaboration. The House of Pokemon is teasing a mysterious new collaboration. A new web page from Game Freak shows, we don't know, a glowing baby horse silhouette or something in front of the of some Japanese text. We do know what the text says, at least thanks to Gametsu. It says that classic game played around the world is reborn in a surprise collaboration. Pokemon teamed up with Koei Tactics series Nobunaga's Ambition for Pokemon Conquest last year, so another crossover seems likely. Looks like we'll find out soon. Now, I'm that's right, it's a little horse. What game series that's been played around the world for years involves little horses? I'm saying My Little Pony. I've listened to a few other gaming shows and Pokemon shows been talking about this. Now, I think this is fucking Pokemon versus My Little Pony or something stupid like that. Because it's a tiny little fat horse. I mean, you know, My Little Ponies that my sister grew up with were little fat things. Now they're, I don't know what the fuck they are these days. I'll ask bisexually and see what they're telling me. But anyone in chat, click the things. You tell me you think it's a My Little Pony or something. Because that's what I'm thinking it is. It does look like My Little Pony. So I don't get how you can have a crossover between Pokemon and My Little Pony, since there's not really enough horse Pokemon anyway. I mean, you know, Ponyta, Rapidash, well, Zebstriker's a zebra, which I can sort of say sort of counts. But I mean, it does look like My Little Pony, to be honest. Where was it? Yep, here we go. This is something interesting. Sega 3D Classic series is heading to the 3DS. Sega has announced that eight classic Sega titles have been enhanced with 3D. Thought we need that. And will be released as individual titles within the Sega 3D Classic series throughout the Nintendo 3D shop in North America and Europe. I was just thinking, I got paid the other day. I should be buying the Defenders of Oasis. In a blog post, the following games were confirmed for the Sega 3D Classic series. 3D Altered Beast. I won't bother reading about 3D, but they're all 3Ds. Echo the Dolphin, Galaxy Force 2, Shinobi 3, Sonic the Hedgehog, Space Harrier, Streets of Rage, and Super Hang-On. No release date has been announced other than soon, and Sega makes it sound like they will be released individually rather than all at once. No prices were stated at the moment, but knowing Nintendo and the 3DS shop, they're going to be overpriced, and they'll sell, you know. But I mean, to be honest, though, we've got, I think with the, was it the Sega collection, about 40 games on one disc. You've already got Altered Beast, Echo, you've got all of these, really. You must be able to buy, what we've got in, yeah, just going on what I said about the Pokemon thing, Stuart in chat says, he says, it better not be My Little Pony. Yeah, I know, that is literally jumping the fucking Sharpedo, that is. Corny's in chat says, could be one of those Barbie horse games. Yeah, people have said that, but the horse is too short. Even the from what I know, the Barbie horse games, they're proper horses, whereas that looks nothing like a proper horse. And then Stuart's saying about a Pokemon and Digimon crossover. I want a new Digimon game. I mean, I'm a big fan of Digimon. I love the TV series for the first, I think, first three series that we got. The two where it was basically a sort of couple of years later version of the second series. But yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see what we get. But yeah, back to what we're saying. Yeah, the 3D classics, you can already buy. I mean, to be honest, the price that they're going to charge for all these together, and, you know, you're looking at, what, $40 probably, knowing the eShop. You can buy the Sega collection that's on, I think, PlayStation 3 and Xbox for, like, what, $20? You know, I can probably get it for, like, £15, £10. I don't know. Where was I? It's, yeah, so as I talked about Animal Crossing earlier, Animal Crossing helps lift Nintendo shares by 4%. you know, I'm not a big fan of talking about the percentage and stats and, you know, this sort of stuff, but this is actually maybe interesting because, you know, I am playing it at the moment. But, yeah, Nintendo shares best since 2011. The success of Animal Crossing and New Leaf is among the factors that helped Nintendo share prices increase by 4%. Yeah, you wait till fucking Pokemon comes out and go through the roof. Trading data shows that Nintendo shares closed yesterday at their highest since July of 2011. At basically, I say £92 per share. The success of Animal Crossing's New Leaf in Japan, as well as the speculation that China will lift its ban on the consoles. Jesus Christ! If China gets fucking Animal Crossing and New Leaf, the whole world will explode because China will go nuts for this game. Has had influenced the boost, according to the strategist at Okasan Securities Company. The shares jump is also the result of the expectations that positive sales outside of Japan will result in an increase in overseas income. I mean, yes, I mean, I've got Animal Crossing. Kevin from Alcohol by Volume's got Animal Crossing. His missus has got Animal Crossing. Everyone's picking up this game. It's weird, I mean, because literally you don't do anything. It's pretty much, I mean, I was thinking about this, is, I mean, Animal Crossing is pretty much the Seinfeld of games. Nothing happens, but you enjoy it, except for the people who didn't like Seinfeld. But yeah, so this is due to us in no small part to Animal Crossing placing second in the NPD software sale list for June. According to the NPD group report, Animal Crossing was Nintendo's strongest 3DS launch title since 2011. Well, yeah, you wait till fucking Pokemon's gonna break all records. Animal Crossing also sold well in the context of first party games for the 3DS, having the highest first sales next to two launches from Holiday 2011, Mario Kart 7 and Super Mario 3D Land. I want to know how fucking Donkey Kong fit into that, because I'm thinking about picking up Donkey Kong as well. But yeah, I mean, good for Animal Crossing, you know. Doing well, but I mean, you know, when Pokemon comes out, it's going to shatter all sorts of records. Nope. Let's try and find Sonic. Here we go. Diablo 3. Diablo 3 to release on PlayStation 4 next year. Diablo 3 won't release on PlayStation 4 until 2014, Blizzard confirmed in an interview with Diablo fans. While the game was recently given a September 3rd launch on the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, Blizzard said that it wants to make the most of what each platform has to offer rather than simply pumping out standard ports. Basically, I mean, to be honest, from what I can understand, you basically are just porting Diablo 3 from the PC to current gen systems. Next gen systems, obviously. To that effect, it's exploring ways to make use of the DualShock 4's touchpad and share button, along with other features, and the former is expected to be used to make UI and inventory navigation more intuitive. The console version of Diablo 3 will support a four-player co-op mode, either locally on a single screen, online, or through a combination of the two. We played the game on current-gen hardware at E3, and a real surprise was that it was may just be better on consoles than its native PC. Find out what it's like. Diablo 3, I mean, Dutch, you know, Dutch and Royce and Hippo Juice, he's nuts for fucking Diablo. You know, I want to pick it up as well, see what it's, you know, because I've stuff like this, I mean, the PC stuff that I've never played, because I'm not a PC gamer, because, you know, I just don't have the, you know, I've never had the love for the PC stuff. You know, Diablo 3, Diablo series, StarCraft, that sort of stuff, I would have liked to play, but just, you know, never really, a thing for me, to be honest. Right, what we got next? Let's have a look. Borderlands. As I said, another thing I've talked about earlier, Borderlands 2 DLC, a level up increase coming this fall. New missions and challenges on the way, plus a level cap of 72. During a panel at PAX Australia today, this article comes out like 4 days ago. This is from IGN, by the way. Gearbox confirmed that level cap for Borderlands 2 will be raised by 11 levels to 72 this fall, plus new missions and raid bosses will be coming as additional DLC packs. I'm really so bored of Borderlands. I mean, I've got the DLC to finish, basically, you know, 3 and 4 DLC to go. I'm just so bored with this game. The level cap increase will come along with the Ultimate Vault Hunter Upgrade Pack 2. Destructive Peak Challenge, which will be released for $5 before the end of October. Destruct Peak Challenge is a new map where Patricia Tannis will let players fight high-level enemies where they can over-level to create an impossible challenge to earn new loot. An upcoming free update will also add additional backpack, ammo, and bank slots. Gearbox will release multiple Headhunter packs offering... Oh, that's a nice breeze. I'm just feeling that. It's coming through the window. Headhunter packs offering new missions and new themed boss fights. The first mission will be TK Baha's Bloody Harvest, bringing back the character last seen in Borderlands 1. Borderlands 1's Zombie Island, the Dr. Ned DLC. Zombie TK Baha will send players to fight Jack-O-Lantern, a giant pumpkin boss who will give new character customizations as a result for being beaten. Multiple Headhunter packs are coming in the future, and at least 2, possibly 3, but no specific pricing for release dates have been announced. So basically, you know, you get, for all you Borderlands 2 lovers, you're getting more. All new Borderlands 2 DLC separate from the Season Pass, which concluded last month with the release of Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon's Keep, which I haven't got through, but I do need to play to finish it off. Gearbox will also be releasing more character heads and skins later this year, which will arrive within 2 or 3 weeks, including a set of themes heads related to Tiny Tina's DLC. More DLC, more character heads and skins. You know, it's great for all you lovers, you know, who are still playing it. I mean, I know Stuart's still playing it. Callie's in chat. I have a question. Should I get Borderlands Game of the Year edition or just skip it to go to Borderlands 2? I don't know. See, it depends, because pretty much Borderlands 2 is pretty much the same as Borderlands 1. But I could say yeah, if you wanted to skip Borderlands 2, because pretty much it is Borderlands 1, but with, you know, newer characters. I mean, there's certain characters that you meet from the first game that you see in the second one, which, you know, has slight good feelings about seeing characters again. I pick up Borderlands 2 if you want. I mean, because you played as, there's characters that you meet characters that you played as in the first Borderlands who you'll meet and they'll talk and have conversations with and set your missions. In Borderlands 2. But I'd say go on the Wikipedia, read about Borderlands 1, how the story progressed, all that sort of stuff, so you're familiar with what happens, because you're not really missing much if you didn't play the first one. Pick up the second one, but do a bit of reading on the characters first, that way you're up to date with what goes on, but you're perfectly fine to sort of jump into 2 if you haven't played 1. That's basically the best choice I could offer to anyone else who's listening as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sort of bored with Borderlands 2. I mean, I haven't had a chance to, well, be interested in picking it up, but, you know, I'll play through it when I can be asked and finish it off. I'll sit down one day and just go through both final parts of DLC that I have and just finish it and then sell it. I don't know. I'm just sort of bored. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'll keep the game saved so that can be carried over to Borderlands 3 when that does come out. But yeah, I'll carry on with other stuff. Let's have a look. All right. There's a bunch of stuff in here. We'll go with this. Mad Hatter confirmed for Batman Arkham Origins. One of the villains set to star in the upcoming Batman Arkham Origins has been revealed to be Mad Hatter. This month's official Xbox magazine reveals that the villain, also known as Jervis Tetch, is set to join the roster of Batman's enemies in the latest Arkham title. Though Hatter has made an appearance in Rocksteady's Arkham City, it appears this time around he'll be a significantly larger role. He's set to be the local, the focal point of the game's trippy action sequences, similar to how Scarecrow featured in the. He just basically puts one of those cars in you and sort of, you know, puts you under his spell. Yeah, basically, I mean, because we've got Copperhead as well, which is, you know, a reimagined version of Copperhead as, you know, the baby penguin and Bane and the Joker. But I mean, Copperhead is, it's, you know, from, it's, well, it's a woman now and not a bloke. But it does, I mean, this game's going to be really good, but I'm still pissed off that we're not fucking getting Kevin Conroy to voice Batman. That really does piss me off, to be honest. You know, you can't have a Batman game or anything Batman related, unless basically you have, Kevin Conroy. Where was I? Let's have a look. Let's find something else. Nope. Here we go, yes. As I talked about, if it loads, there we go. No, one sec, let me just load it again. Yeah, so as I talked about, Walking Dead, this is from, you know, after we had the San Diego Comic Con, Clementine will be, in the Walking Dead game season 2. During a panel at, San Diego Comic Con, Telltale provided the first details about the Walking Dead's, the game, season 2. According to the panel, Clementine will definitely be a part of the upcoming season. And the fate of Kenny will be explored. A teaser image revealed during the panel showed what appeared to be Clementine sitting in the rain next to a child. Let's carry on reading. Little else is known about the season 2. Still no details on whether this means these characters will be playable or if they'll still be making cameo appearances. Telltale did mention that, unlike the delay with Season 1, the Season 2 launch will be on Vita alongside the other platforms. The Walking Dead game released 5 episodes throughout 2012. Telltale's last said it was targeting this fall for second season. Yeah, so basically we're hopefully getting it at the end of this year. But yeah, I mean, I'm sort of wondering how this will go with Walking Dead. Sorry, I was running through chat. Corny's in there saying it does make sense though, the character is younger, he's not going to sound as gruff as Kevin Conroy. Yeah, the thing is though, I mean, I grew up watching the Batman animated series, which was made 20 years ago, and you had the Mask of the Phantasm movie, and that features a young Batman, and he still had the same voice, it was still Kevin Conroy. It just doesn't, I mean, it can't be that much younger. I mean, I'm just all pissed off. I mean, you know, hopefully Rocksteady are working on the next Batman game and it will have Kevin Conroy as the voice. Otherwise, it'll be really, I mean, because the Batman Arkham stuff, to me, is basically pretty much the spiritual successor to the Batman animated series. It sort of fills the gap between, you know, the animated series where it ended, then we had the Arkham games. And then we have Batman of the Future, Batman Beyond. But yeah, I mean, with Clementine with The Walking Dead, I mean, she wasn't applying. The thing, it's weird, right? I mean, basically, Lee was the main character from The Walking Dead first season, and basically you're protecting Clementine. But the thing is, though, Cornishman says saying that maybe he's tired of being the same role. Jesus, he's making no money from nothing else. I mean, that's all he's done for the past 20 years. I mean, he was in Cheers and a bunch of other stuff. He was in Ben 10, which was quite good to hear his voice. But yeah, I mean, he's Batman. He can't be anything else. I mean, he's top in typecast, yes, but it's for a good reason because he's really good at what he does, and he wouldn't have been doing it so long if he wasn't have. I mean, you know, this outrage that we're getting, I mean, you know, we've got this, and we've got Sam, you know, they changed the voice of Sam Fisher from Michael Ironside, which pissed me off as well, and Metal Gear Solid, which I'm sitting on the fence about whether they actually did, but really just can't get rid of David Hayter as the voice of Snake, unless there's some sort of twist, some sort of bullshitty Kojima twist where he's changing stuff around, but we'll see how that goes. Where was I? Yes, yeah. So basically, yeah, Clementine. I mean, yeah, as I say, I mean, her parents are dead because she saw them in the city at the end of episode 5, I think it was. So basically, she knows they're dead. Lee's dead because he was bitten by the zombie. And at the end of the DLC, at the end of the credits, she's just basically see her, I think, either walking or sitting in the field, and there's like two figures in the distance, so maybe they picked her up and taken her somewhere. I mean, it'd be good to see her, but I can see him doing some sort of twist where she ended up getting killed or something. I mean, I can see that. At the end of season two, they'll just kill off Clementine. Things they do with this sort of stuff with The Walking Dead. It's like you just kill off all these important characters just for the fun of it. Sort of Joss Whedon style. We'll wait and see. But I mean, Clementine, you're back. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing season two when it does come out. I mean, I know I'll buy the season pass and just get it all when it comes out. Okay, let's find some stuff. Hang on, let's find some. Where was that? Here we go. Yes, this is fine. This is interesting. Grand Theft Auto 5 PC petition approaching 215,000. Rockstar's latest due to hit consoles in September. Almost 215,000 people have signed a petition urging Rockstar to release GTA 5 on PC. While the game has not officially been announced for Xbox 360 and has been officially announced for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, Rockstar hasn't ruled out releasing it on the other platforms, saying in November 2012 that the GTA 5 PC and Wii U are up for consideration. I mean, don't put it on the Wii U because you're just wasting your time because no one has that fucking thing. Put it on the PC because people will go nuts. They'll mod it like crazy. The way the things are with the PC world, it'll probably get pirated to fuck anyway, and no doubt someone will probably crack the Xbox version or the PlayStation 3 version, and then just chuck it up there on Pirate Bay or something anyway. So I won't worry too much. I just read in the chat, says Corny saying it's impossible that he doesn't need the money anymore. He's been doing it for years. Voice actors only get so much money. They're not like all these movie stars getting paid millions to do something. I don't think Kevin Conroy's getting paid millions. I don't even think the studios he works for have enough money to, just throw millions at him. He does, conventions and stuff, but I don't think he has. I mean, he's not sitting on fucking Robert Downey Jr.'s money. I just kept remembering what you're saying. None of the clones were perfect, so the younger version of Ridge Man. With Metal Gear Solid, just reading coins to send chat. Metal Gear Solid, I mean, it's not exactly Solid Snake, but I mean, I watched this video on YouTube about this guy who thinks that basically there's going to be two big bosses. Because, I mean, there's still stuff we don't know, and way Kojima is with his stories, half the stuff is bullshit and convoluted, and half of it is plot twists and, double negatives and stuff. I actually sort of believe his view that we're going to have, like, two big bosses. One's going to basically be voiced by Kiefer Sutherland, and the other one is going to be voiced by David Hayter. And basically... Well, I mean, it's like with Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. Snake was there. Called himself Plissken, Iroquois Plissken, Escape from New York. But yeah, I mean, that was like a twist in the story. It threw me a bit. It's like, well, that sounds like him, but it doesn't look like him. And then you sort of, he put on his suit and it was Snake. But, which I thought was quite... I love Sons of Liberty. It was a great game. But, yeah, I mean, I can think they'll probably be like that. We'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I'm saying this petition. Rockstar confirms a US and European release of September 17th. Less than 2 months. On Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, the game will launch in Japan on October 10th. For Japan, it comes out on October 10th. A few days later, Pokemon comes out, so whatever we'll be playing. It also been speculated that Rockstar intends to release Xbox One and PlayStation 4 versions of GTA 5. Rockstar recently released a new GTA 5 gameplay trailer featuring almost 5 minutes of fresh footage, which I talked about last week and the week before that. 215,000. Position so far, it's quite a lot. All these people if you've got enough money to buy a PC and all the graphics cards and sound cards, just get yourself an Xbox 360 and a PlayStation or a PlayStation 3. They're fucking cheap at the moment because of all the new consoles. You're not looking any more than 200 bucks. Just get yourself a console, get yourself a game. $250, you're done. Stop worrying about fucking PC, just so you can mod it and put all different, you know, basically so you can mod it. Just play the fucking game like it's intended. You don't have to worry about modding stuff. It's not fucking Skyrim. Bunch of whiny bitches. But, you know, if it does come to PC, good for the PC players, but, you know, it'll be pirated and modded and all sorts of stupid shit done to it. There we go. Yeah, this is something that might interest little Matt. Saints Row 4 will be resubmitted for classification in Australia. Effective ban to be reassessed. Saints Row 4 will be resubmitted for the classification for classification in Australia following its refusal by the board last month. According to announcements by the organisation, the board will reconvene on July 29th. So hopefully by this time next week I'll have an answer for you. To review the classification. It is likely the board will assess a modified version of the game, Deep Silver told CVG last month, that developer Volition will make changes to the code in order to make it more suitable for the region. I hate this sort of shit. It's like, I mean, there's no difference between me living in England or someone living in Australia or someone living in America or someone living in China or someone living in Japan. We're all people at the end of the day, and the stuff we see, it shouldn't affect how we are. But you shouldn't ban a game in one country and not ban it in another when basically we're all the same at the end of the day and this matters nothing to nobody. Just put the game out and just put like an 18 rating on it and only people 18 over can buy it. I mean, it's not going to scare some 40-year-old man, is it? It's not going to scare some 70-year-old man. Just put the fucking game out, you stupid bunch of bastards. Volition, the developer, reworking some of the code to create a version of the game for this territory by removing the content which could cause offence without reducing the outlandish gameplay that Saints Row fans know and love. Well, yeah, go and buy Grand Theft Auto then. Meanwhile, a low-violence version of Saints Row 4 appears temporarily on Steam earlier this month. Saints Row 4 was refused and certification in Australia last month despite the introduction of an R18 plus classification earlier this year in the boards. I mean, it's going to be funny because, I mean, living in, you know, I'll get the full version without all this PC shit, non-violence and stuff. But I'm looking forward to seeing what I'm going to be playing and other countries aren't. But I mean, to be honest, it's a PAL version anyway. So basically, anyone Australian can just, Sony Asia. I think they do for PlayStation stuff. They import stuff. It's a PAL region territory. They can import games from other countries. So no doubt, you know, they'll get, a copy of Saints Row from here. If they want to play the full version, but we'll see. In the board's statement, interactive visual depictions of implied violence were the reason for the effective ban. We reached out to Clash Network for, I mean, it's quite funny that Australia is banning this game for its violence and its content when Australia is basically the country that we sent all the fucking prisoners to, that when people got there, they started killing all the Aborigines. I mean, the whole country was founded on violence. It was we sent all the criminals and they killed all the Aborigines, like slaughtered millions of the fuckers. And basically you're banning a game because it's violent content. Yeah. Corny's in chat says, send little Matt M-rated games, but store them in My Little Pony Code. That's how they fucking do it anyway. I mean, I don't think they're going to have, like, sniffer dogs with, and security guards with tasers and shit standing over boxes of games looking, is that a smuggled copy of Saints Row? I mean, the way smuggling is these days, you can smuggle anything anywhere. This sort of bullshit pisses me off. Let's find something else. I mean, I'm running out of time as usual, but I'll try and find something to make something. I'll try and find some Microsoft stuff. I haven't done too much on the Microsoft. Here we go. Yes. That one. Yeah, there we go. Forza 5 requires day one download. Xbox One launch title. Forza Motorsport 5 will require a one-time online connection to play the game. A mandatory day one download will introduce content including tracks, cars, and offline AI to the game. Dan Greenwalt, studio head at Forza Creator Turn 10, told IGN, He says, so when you first boot up the game, we're going to ask you to log in. And when you log in, you're going to get driver tars, and you're also going to get a whole bunch of content, tracks and cars. Our production schedule is such that we are putting them in as late as possible, and that means making them free as downloadable content on day one. That is required content to play the game. See, this is where they should switch between the online codes, and have day one content, special stuff just for that. That's what will bring in your sales. Just to have exclusive stuff for people who buy it day one and download it straight away. That is required content to play the game. We basically have this, designed the game to work with all the content, no matter how late it's coming, in order to make the game the biggest game possible. According to Turn 10, driver tiles act like as online AI counterparts, mimicking the traits of real world players. When you're not playing, your driver tile will continue racing against other players using your repeated behavior and tendencies. I'm glad they don't use it for for Gran Turismo. Otherwise, we'd just crash into walls because the game is shit. Therefore, if you're offline or for an extended amount of time, the driver tiles you're racing won't evolve. Greenwald said, you do have to connect to the game in order to get the latest driver tiles, because we need as many people training them as possible. And so rather than having just a launch day set that was created by us, every day that people race is going to make the driver tile set that much more accurate. That much more interesting. All of the cloud and online features make the game far, far better. In fact, I'd even say revolutionary. The things we're doing with opponents and driver tar are not something that anyone can envision unless you've played it. Well, I suppose it sounds exactly like what Need for Speed does with its that Facebook wall hub thing that they have. But we're trying to get as much on that as it's unconnected into that unconnected offline mode as well. Like Forza 5, the Xbox One itself will require a day one patch to enable offline play. It will require a day one patch to enable offline play, although the update will hopefully only be mandatory for launch wave units. With an offline mode built into the firmware carried by a second wave once. Because the whole big switch of Xbox, being online only, is how Forza was built. And now Xbox has changed their mind. They have to build these, codes into it where you can play it offline. That's quite funny. This game looks going to be fun. It's going to be the big one that people play for racing games. Let's try and find something else to wrap up the show with. NVIDIA Shield. I don't care, but I'll read it anyway. Delayed NVIDIA Shield shipping on July 31st. NVIDIA has announced that its delayed handheld system Shield will ship to customers at the end of July. The Android-powered portable console will initially set to launch on June 27th for $349. However, a price drop of $50 was announced last month, shortly before the system suffered a last-minute delay. With NVIDIA placing the blame on an unspecific mechanical issue related to a third-party component in the statement provided Android Central. Announcing the new ship date on its website, NVIDIA said, we want to thank you for your patience and for sticking with us through the shipment delay of your Shield. We have great news to share with you. Your Shield will ship on July 31st. Our goal has always been to ship the perfect product, so we made sure we submitted Shield to the most rigorous mechanical testing and quality assurance standards in the industry. We built Shield because we love playing games, and we hope you enjoy it as much as we did. So it's getting delayed, and basically it should be out in a week or so. I have no interest in it. It's an Android gaming device. I don't fucking care, to be honest. It seems like a waste of time. I do want to see the sales for it, because the sale numbers. So I'll be looking at that as soon as I get a chance. But it does look so pathetic and pointless. It's just not even worth it, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, it does seem really shitty and useless. I found some more stuff on Xbox One here. Xbox One can play digital titles mid-download. The Xbox One can play digital... Yeah, I'm just so sorry, I should have read that. Xbox can play games while still downloading to the system. Microsoft confirmed to Polygon that, much like the PlayStation 4, its console can get gamers into the action by loading necessary files for early gameplay first. Microsoft already confirmed physical games could be played while installing from the disc, which is good since you have to install them. But this announcement brings its quick play options into closer parity with the PlayStation 4. See, this is what makes me wonder, right? I mean, I was listening to someone talk about competition between, you know, whatever. Basically, you know, competition builds a need to get better at stuff. You know, if you say like two consoles aiming against each other, they're trying to get better and better. But I mean, what we're seeing now with the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, they're pretty much the same. There seems to be no competition whatsoever. They seem to be the same devices. One's slightly higher priced, because it comes with a camera, whereas the other one's slightly less priced because it doesn't come with a camera, but you can still buy a camera. It's like there's no competition. There just seems to be stealing ideas. There's nothing new. I mean, to be honest, yes, the Xbox 360, the Kinect was innovative for what it was, but it was still completely useless, and it's going to be useless for the Xbox One because you don't need a camera to play a fucking game. You need a controller. It's just, you know, because you can't turn off the Xbox One camera, which is a fucking joke. But yeah, I mean, you know, it does make me laugh about this sort of shit. But there seems to be no competition between the developers. I mean, Nintendo is basically dying on its arse. I mean, the only thing they've got... I mean, Animal Crossing's doing good for them. It's got to put the stocks up. Pokemon's going to do great for them. But apart from that, they've got nothing. They've got nothing worth, you know, worth playing that's interesting or anything. It just makes me laugh. It really does. But yeah, I mean, it's just a fucking joke. It really does. I'll just quickly get through this if I can. Let's just see how big this article is. Oh, yeah, it's a very short one. Strider, making a comeback in 2014. Capcom has announced that a new version of the classic 1989-style side-scrolling action game Strider is due in 2014. The game is in development at Double Helix Games, who are also working on a Killer Instinct, making Killer Instinct for the Xbox One. The latest game, a 2.5D side-scroller, was confirmed during Capcom's panel at Comic-Con over the weekend in San Diego. The game will feature all the kind of moves you'd expect from a Strider title, including war crimes, aerial combat, and plenty of sword slashing. According to Capcom, levels will be non-linear, and you'll be able to revisit multiple times using new abilities to access different areas. Metroid, basically. The story kicks off where Strider Hiro receives orders to assassinate Grandmaster Mao, supreme dictator of Earth, who has plunged humanity into a dystopian dark age. Sounds pretty faithful to the original franchise. There's a trailer in the Facebook group as well, but yeah, Strider's coming back. Never played it. Could be fun. Whatever. I'm not fussed. But yeah, I mean, that pretty much wraps up the show for this week. You know, as usual, so after the show, if you're listening live, it's Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and we got, you know, other stuff tonight. You've got the Alcohol by Volume, you got Unsigned Hype, Dutch and Royce, a whole bunch of stuff. Tuesday's really good for More Like Radio. Yeah, there's a ton of good shows before me. It was like Old School Wrestling Review with Jay and his mates. Then you got Ham Radio with Eddie and Hammy and Billy and Danny. A ton of good stuff. But I say, as usual, if you ever want to email the show, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. You know, send us an email, tell us what you're playing, and I'll read it out on the show, get you a little shout out. facebook.com/group/MLGamerLobby. Get yourself in there. There's quite a few people in there at the moment. facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. Give us a go on there. Like our Facebook page and share it with your friends. Get them to like it as well. If they like games, you know, demand it. So go and fucking like this page, or otherwise, you know, we're not friends anymore. Also on Twitter @MLGamerRadio. You know, share it as well. Tell people, you know, follow this page, you know, follow this Twitter account. There's tons of good gaming information as soon as I see stuff or try and argue with people that were stupid. But yeah, there's tons of stuff happening now. I mean, it's like the end of July. August is here. We've got Saints Row. We've got GTA 5. I mean, Pokemon's in October. We've got Call of Duty Ghosts coming out. You know, tons of stuff. I mean, this year's going to be sort of anticlimactic with the games. We're going to get them here, there, and everywhere. We're going to finish them and wrap it all up for the next year for the new console generation and see how that goes. But, you know, I say as usual, you know, if you want to listen to live, it's go to morelikeradio.com/live. I'm live every Tuesday. It's 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern. Gone for about 2 hours of non-stop me talking. But yeah, you know, thanks for listening, everyone. And I'll see you lot again next week.
Everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate or poor.